Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're getting into a story that's, well, it's both fascinating and really, really unsettling. We're talking about NXIVM. Now, this was an organization that for quite a few years held out this really powerful promise, you know, empowerment, success, personal growth, all that. Think back to the late 1990s. This new kind of self-help group appears, founded by Keith Raniere, and he really built this image for himself as one of the smartest guys around. So to anyone looking from the outside, NXIVM looked like this this great community. High achievers, people driven by purpose, all trying to unlock their potential. It looked good, legitimate, maybe even inspiring. But as we're going to unpack in this deep dive, that bright surface hid something much, much darker. Our goal here is to figure out how that appealing front could hide what our sources actually call a carefully crafted nightmare disguised as enlightenment.
Yeah, it's pretty staggering how effective NXIVM was at masking its real intentions. And for so long, too, they didn't just hide things. They actively convinced so many people that it was all legitimate. And it wasn't just, you know, a typical cult, though it definitely became that. What the source material really highlights is how easily trust can be weaponized, how hope can be twisted into control.
Right.
It's a really stark lesson, I think, in how vulnerability gets exploited, especially when it's dressed up as self-improvement.
That initial appeal is so important, isn't it? Because NXIVM operated for years with this incredibly polished image, self-help workshops, leadership training, and our sources point out it even attracted some really high-profile people, celebrities, heiresses, you know, successful professionals.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what that does. People with influence, money, public platforms. What made NXIVM seem so appealing, so credible on the surface? What was that hook?
Well, looking at the bigger picture here, the presence of those high-profile members,
It
did more than just lend legitimacy. It tapped into this sort of societal bias, right?
How so?
There's this assumption, maybe unconscious, that if someone's wealthy or famous or seems intelligent, they must have good judgment. It makes it almost impossible for outsiders to imagine something sinister going on underneath.
Ah, okay, like a shield of credibility.
Exactly, a very effective shield. Mm. But behind that carefully best image, at the absolute core, was this incredibly dark secret subgroup called DOS.
DOS.
Yeah, a DOS. It's an acronym for Dominus Obsequious Sororium, which translated from Latin means, well, it means master over slave women.
Wow. Okay.
And unfortunately, that name turned out to be disturbingly literal. It was pitched to recruits as this, you know, empowering sisterhood, a safe space for women to grow, shed weaknesses.
The typical self-help language, almost.
Right. But the reality, it was a terrifyingly structured world of just absolute control, coercion, and frankly, a lot of psychological and physical pain. Keith Raniere and his IVM founder, he was right at the top, positioned himself as vanguard, the ultimate source of wisdom, basically.
Yeah.
His teachings, you follow them, no questions asked.
And under him?
Under him were female masters. Their job was to recruit other women, selling them on this idea that they were joining something truly life-changing, transformative. The promise was bright, but the truth, devastating.
It's one thing to get drawn in by something that looks positive, but the really chilling part, I think, is once people were in DOS, how did NXIVM maintain that iron grip? What were the actual tools, the mechanisms that kept people trapped, even when things clearly turned nightmarish?
Yeah, and this forces us to look at the really extreme lengths they went to, psychologically and physically. The first and maybe the most insidious tool was something called collateral.
Collateral.
Yes. It was mandatory for joining DOS. Think of it as an entry fee that was also a weapon against you, an insurance policy for your silence.
What kind of stuff are we talking about?
Our sources detail things like intimate photos, damaging false confessions written out to destroy reputations, sensitive financial documents.
Oh my God.
Basically anything that could be used later to completely ruin your life. Public image, your finances, your relationships, if you ever thought about leaving or speaking out.
So constant fear.
Pure, unadulterated fear.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine living every single day knowing that existed, that it could be released at any moment. It just dismantled any sense of safety, making escape feel utterly impossible.
That threat of public ruin is it's hard to even imagine. But the control went even further, didn't it? Beyond the psychological, the reputational threat, there was a physical act too.
Yes, absolutely. Beyond the ever-present threat of the collateral, the most infamous and just horrifying initiation ritual was the branding.
The branding, I've read about this. It's difficult.
It really is. The sources describe this scene. It's hard to wrap your head around. By candlelight, women were physically held down, and then a cauterizing pen, essentially a tool that burns flesh, was used to carve Keith Raniere's initials into their skin near the pubic area.
Sure.
The sources say the screams of agony filled the room. But here's the twist they were told. This excruciating pain was a test of loyalty, a mark of empowerment.
Empowerment.
It's that perverse twisting of language, right?
Yeah.
Justifying absolute cruelty by framing it as strength, as growth. The psychological conditioning needed to endure that, let alone believe it was somehow good for you. It's profound.
So once they were in collateral submitted, branding endured, what did that mean day to day?
It meant they effectively became Raniere's slaves. The control was total. It was a systematic dismantling of their autonomy, their self-worth.
How'd that play out?
Things like extreme starvation diets. Sometimes only 500, 800 calories a day, framed as cleansing. They had to fulfill sexual demands, be available whenever you wanted.
In the mental side.
Relentless mental manipulation. Constant re-education with Raniere's teachings. Gaslighting that made them doubt their own reality, their own judgment. Always under this banner of self-improvement, spiritual growth. It was complete psychological imprisonment, designed to break them down and ensure total obedience.
It's just a staggering level of control. So with these mechanisms of fear and manipulation so deeply embedded, how did it all finally fall apart? NXIVM operated for years like this, under this convincing cover. The sources say the mask eventually slipped. What happened? What was the catalyst?
Yeah, the irony here is pretty sharp. That very collateral, the stuff designed to trap women in silence forever.
Yeah.
That became the key evidence that brought the whole thing down. Survivors. Incredibly brave people who managed to get out started speaking up.
Ah, finally.
Yeah. There's stories.
Yeah.
Gut-wrenching accounts of abuse, coercion, betrayal.
Yeah.
They started surfacing. First, maybe just whispers, then to investigative journalists who wouldn't let it go. And as these stories gained momentum, that polished facade NXIVM had maintained, it just couldn't withstand the scrutiny anymore.
So the truth started coming out.
Exactly. And the official timeline is pretty clear after that. Keith Raniere was arrested down in Mexico in 2018.
Right. I remember that.
Then came the convictions. Multiple serious crimes. Yeah. Sex trafficking, racketeering, forced labor.
Maybe charges.
Extremely.
Yeah.
So the man they called Vanguard, the guru of empowerment, he's now spending the rest of his life in prison. The system he built to silence and control people ultimately led to his own downfall, thanks to the courage of those he tried to suppress.
It's still just, it's such a stark reminder of the human cost of these schemes. Raniere is in prison, yes. But that doesn't just erase everything. What's the lasting impact? What's the reality now for the survivors of NXIVM, the women who actually lived through this nightmare?
Yeah, and that makes you think about the long road to healing, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Reclaiming who you are after something like that. For so many survivors, the scars, emotional, physical, they don't just vanish.
Especially the physical ones, I imagine.
Exactly. The branding, for instance.
Yeah.
That physical mark burned into their flesh. It was meant as this symbol of enslavement, this twisted loyalty test. Now it's this permanent haunting reminder. It's like a visceral proof of how that dream of growth, that promise of becoming better, turned into a nightmare of control and violation. The physical scars are there, but the emotional, the psychological ones, they often run even deeper. It's a testament to the systematic abuse they went through. It takes years, sometimes a whole lifetime, to really navigate that healing. They're taking back their stories now, but it's an incredibly difficult journey.
This whole deep dive into NXIVM really hammers home a central point, doesn't it? It was, like our source material puts it so well, more than just a cult. It was this powerful, disturbing example of how easily trust gets weaponized. How that basic human need for hope, for belonging, can be twisted into chains you can't escape.
Yeah,
it's chilling. Makes you confront some uncomfortable things about manipulation.
And if you step back for a second, look at the bigger picture. This case really makes you wonder, doesn't it? What is it about our society, or maybe our own psychology, that makes people vulnerable to these kinds of elaborate deceptions? Even when the promises seem, maybe in hindsight, just too good to be true, what stands out to you when you think about how a system like this could even take root, how it could lure so many people in and keep its grip for so long? It's a question that definitely sticks with you. A reminder, maybe, to stay critical, especially when faced with easy answers or figures demanding absolute trust.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.